If you had a choice, what would you like to hear about today? Really?
Hope for mankind.
I asked the same question at 8, and we've already got two of the very same responses. Refugees, hope for mankind. What else?
Fear.
Fear? Who said fear? You want to hear about fear? I might scare you this morning, but refugee crisis, hope for humanity. It's a fear in the sense that it's a really hard time, isn't it? I mean, it's a really, really, really hard time. I got a call from my best friend in the world last night who had to fly from L.A. to this coast, and they were scared to get on a plane. I got up early this morning, and I didn't even want to turn on the television or turn on the radio because I was so afraid that I was going to hear one more thing that would make it possible to stand up in front of you today and say, Christ the King, our Lord and Savior, was, is, and will be. So boy, oh boy, how do we think about it? How do we talk about it? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to think a little bit about the day. Christ the King Sunday. Some people in the church these days call it Reign of Christ Sunday because they don't like the word king. But I like the word king. Who's the king? Come on with me. Who's the king? Christ is the king. Who's the king? Christ is the king. That's what we got to believe. That's what we got to live. Christ is the king. Do you know how old the day is? Anybody? Deborah, you can't answer this. Could put Matthew on the spot, but I won't. 1925. Really not that old as liturgical traditions go, right? 1925. Pope Pius XI. Europe was a mess. United States of America was 9 years away from the Great Depression. Seeds of the Holocaust were being born in Europe. So Pope Pius XI said, you know what we need? We need a day that the church will proclaim. Who's the king? Christ is the king. That's piece number one. Piece number two is this fabulous little pericope that we have from the gospel according to John, from the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. A passion that we're used to reading, not now, but in Lent. If I'm not mistaken, when we print the Gospel of John in our service leaflets at St. Albans, we make a little apology in there. Right, Deborah? And the apology is to say that there's some complicated stuff going on here in the gospel, according to John, in regard to who? The Jews. So the wonderful thing about today is that the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel, according to John, has seven scenes. Today we have seen two. The first one was with Caiaphas, the high priest. The second one is with Pilate, and then you know the rest of the story. The amazing thing about Christ the King Sunday, and this scene too in the pericope, in regard to the season that we are heading into, is because scene two is all we really need. Let's walk through scene two together, okay? Jesus has come from his, Judas has betrayed him. He's been bound, led to Caiaphas the high priest. That exchange didn't go very well. And a police officer did something to Jesus while he was bound. Any guesses? struck him. That's all scene one. Scene two, Jesus is brought to Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate asks Jesus, and if you can picture him in your mind with me now. He's been struck, and he's bound, and he's led into Pilate's headquarters. And Pilate asks him a question, and you know the question. The question is, are you king of the Jews? In the interest of the day and the year and religious tolerance, let's leave off the last word, okay? Jesus is bound, he's been struck, he's led before Pontius Pilate, and Pilate says, are you a king? If you put the emphasis on the word you and king rather than Jew, I think you get the subtlety of the story that John is actually trying to tell. Jesus is struck, his face may be swollen, he's bound, and Pilate says, are you a king? And then this amazing exchange happens, and Jesus says, my kingdom isn't from this world. Have I got it right, more or less? In a sense, Jesus is saying what? Yes. Actually, I am a king. Yes, actually, I'm your king. And I'm your king. I'm everybody's king. Can't you tell? Pilate's response is, so you are a king. And then there's an amazing exchange that takes us to where I think many of us are and live in the church today. There's an exchange between Jesus and Pilate that has Jesus responding with, after Pilate says, so you are a king, Jesus doesn't overtly answer the question, but he says what he came to do, which is to testify to the truth. So when my friend called me last night and they asked me what I could preach about or what I was going to preach about, I said, the only thing I can think about preaching about today is the truth. So now we're going to talk a little bit about the truth together. Okay? What's the truth? We're not in danger. Okay. The truth that's being unveiled in the story is that, well, we'll talk about one particular truth, and that is Pilate. If you read the seven scenes, Pilate is going inside and outside, inside and outside, inside and outside. There's a military barracks, there's Pilate's headquarters, and then there's a courtyard, and Pilate is moving back between these two worlds of what's being demanded from the religious authorities on the outside, and then the conversation he's having with the king, his king. And he's trying to uncover what's the truth between these two worlds. And does that resonate with us? We come in and out of the church Sunday to Sunday. We go back into the world and in our lives. Do we ever wonder what's really going on here? What is the truth? So Jesus calls himself a king, and Pilate's response is really compelling. And if we unpack it the way it looks, at least the way I read it in Greek, it's interesting because Pilate, it's not in our pericope, but you know Pilate's response, right? What is truth? If you read the passage, it goes more like, truth? What is that? You hear that, Gordon? Yes. And that's the question we have to ask today, right? Is it not? Truth? What is that? So we're moving back between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world, and we're trying to figure out the truth of it all. So Jesus' truth is that he testifies to the light and the truth and to his God. And when he says, "I'm your king," he's bound and he's struck. And so we're celebrating the last Sunday of the church year, which is Christ the King, and we're moving into Advent, which is a season of preparation and expectation. And on the Sunday before we're going to hear Deborah preach us into Advent, we're hearing a story about Pilate, who's confronted with the truth, his king, and he's not quite sure. And so one thing that we could get from this in terms of the lectionary is that this reading is really setting us up to think about what the truth we are preparing to receive. Make any sense? What kind of king are we expecting? What does our king look like? So the difficult part about this for me is that the truth is what the truth is. This is, I don't know how to articulate this, but there's one thing we okay, calm down, Jim. In the New Testament, theologically speaking, the truth is more about what we do than what we say. Okay? Theologically speaking, according to the New Testament, the witness of the Gospels, the truth is more about what we do than what we say. And so the pericope really asks us to think about the truth. And if the truth is more about what we do than what we say, and that's faith and belief, then we're really called into a place where we're mediating between the two worlds, right? The world that we want to believe in and the world that we're living in. The faith we're proclaiming versus the lives that we are really living. So it's a tough tough place to be. But it's an important place to be for the church. The only qualification I have that enables me to stand in front of you this morning with a stole is that in my heart and in my soul, I believe that God was, that God is, and that God will be. I believe that Christ is my King. I believe that Christ is your King. I believe that Christ is your King. But I wonder with you about the truth of the lives we are living, and whether the King that we are preparing for and are expecting is the right King, is the Lord of Lords, the author of our salvation. So think with me, think with Pilate about the question. Truth? What is that? What is the truth of my life? What is the truth of the church's life? What kind of king are we preparing for? We'll let you linger there. I'll linger there with you, and I'll close and asks us to think about the forum that's happening today, which is the result of work by a planning committee, right? Strategic Planning Committee. I was waiting for somebody to say that. Strategic Planning Committee. And part of what we're going to unveil is our new mission statement. A colleague showed me a church in Maryland that is becoming an Episcopal church, and they have a link on the website that says mission statement. And if you click on the mission statement, it says, "We don't believe in mission statements, so we don't have one." The draft mission statement is something that we will talk about together today, and it's important. And the work of the Strategic Planning Committee is important because it's essential, because the vestry and the rector and others think that when we say we welcome the faithful and the seeker and the doubter, that's about something that's happening up here. And what we desperately need to think about as a church is where we are working in the world. That's a question about what is true. What is true about us? What is true about St. Albans? We'll walk into the truth. We'll walk into that mission together. Thank you for your pledges. Thank you for thinking about hard things. Thank you for inviting Christ the King into your lives and into this church. Amen.